the next 5 Sundays, for those of you maybe are saying, hey, part of my New Year's resolution is to start going back to church, well, welcome. I'm so glad you're here, whether you're online or you're in person. You know, you're in for a little bit of a treat. You get the tail end of the 2022 sermon series. I was not capable, because I was limited in the number of Sundays I had, to finish all 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs in the sermon series that we have set up last January. So we've been walking through each chapter of the book of Proverbs, and we've decided at this point we're just going to do one chapter a week. So I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you. I'm not going to try to cover everything, but I'm going to pull out a nugget from each of these chapters, and I'm going to teach you a battle drill so that you can learn how to live out your faith like a good soldier of Jesus Christ according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. That is the theme verse for this whole sermon series, which is called Train to Live on Mission Today, the Battle Drills of a Christian Soldier. Now, today, our battle drill is this. Learn to train with a battle buddy. You're going to learn how to train with a battle buddy. And you're saying, what's a battle buddy? Okay, it's a spiritual friend. Okay, that's what I'm going to simply call a battle buddy for most of this time. A spiritual friend. Now, a spiritual friend is someone you believe is important to the strengthening of your spiritual vitality. Some people call them accountability partners, or disciple makers, or a discipler, or a protege, or like a master apprentice, or a Paul and Barnabas, or a Paul and Timothy. This is someone in your life, on whatever side of the equation you may be on, whether you're an encourager, a discipler, mentor, or if you're an apprentice learner, this is a person that you believe is a part of strengthening your spiritual vitality. Okay, spiritual vitality being how do you experience your faith, your living faith, okay, vitality of the Holy Spirit in you. You know, because there's so many people who are caught up in dead dogma that you wouldn't even know they love Jesus by the way they live their lives, okay? We want to see you alive in Christ. We want to see the fruit of the Spirit coming out of you here, okay? We want to see your actions declaring the truth of your Christianity. Now, like every athlete needs a training partner. Okay, if you've ever been an athlete or you've ever been a coach or you've ever been a parent or grandparent or uncle or aunt watching kids, you know that they need each other out there, okay? To bring out the best in the athlete, they need a training partner. In the same way, soldiers need battle buddies, okay? In the same way, Christians need a spiritual friend. Now, Proverbs 18, verse 24 talks about that this spiritual friend will be closer to you than a brother, okay? Now, this is really important. I'll just read that to you real quick, just as a foundational scripture. It's not our lead scripture for today, but it's one of those beautiful proverbs that supports what we're talking about. Proverbs 18, verse 24b says, "But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Okay, that's what I'm talking about here. That's a spiritual friend. And I believe that spiritual friendship is one of the foundational disciplines of the Christian life. If I had to say, what are the basics of the Christian life? I would say it's reading your Bible, it's your prayer life, and it's gathering with your people. It's being a part of the church. And that includes the way you do not only the large gatherings, but also your smaller gatherings and your one-on-one relationships. And spiritual friendship is a part of that. Okay. Now, in the military, okay, we are assigned to train with a battle buddy. And let me just give you a story here. I remember Ranger School 1997, so we're going back a day. And if it wasn't for my Ranger buddy, I would not have graduated Ranger School. Okay? So it was a long night patrol. It was going through the swamps of Florida. So it's the third phase. Man, at this point, you are just beyond exhausted, and I was zoning out, okay? I was losing consciousness on my feet. And my battle buddy, he locked arms with me, and he kept me going in the right direction until I was able to dig deep and find that next gear. Because let me tell you something that I've learned. There's always another gear. Sometimes you just need a brother or a sister who's going to lock arms with you until you can find the next gear. okay? There's always another gear. God's always going to provide for you. Sometimes you just bail before you find out you have another gear. And then for the rest of your life, you define yourself by the fact that you don't have another gear. When you do, you just need somebody who's going to lock arms with you and help you get through the sticking point until you find that next gear, okay? But you have it. I know you have it, okay? But no kidding, I would have been out of Ranger School had I broken contact, had I fell out of formation, had I not kept on mission, okay? Because there's no grace in that environment, okay? We need this. We need battle buddies. We need spiritual friends. We need people, even in a grace-filled environment like the church and the kingdom of heaven, we need people who are going to lock arms with us and help us find the next gear, who are going to keep us going in the right direction, even though we're losing consciousness, we're exhausted, we're burnt out, we're whatever. Okay? We need this. Learning to train with a battle buddy is a fulfillment of Scripture. Galatians 6:2. Let me read Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Wow. Learning to have a battle buddy, learning how to have spiritual friendships, fulfills Scripture. It is a fulfillment of the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. That's beautiful. So a battle buddy is a person we have learned we can depend upon to help us carry the burdens of God's purposes for our lives. Okay, when you bring those together, that a battle buddy is a spiritual friend, and in the church, a spiritual friend is a battle buddy, you're not only going to have someone who's strengthening your spiritual vitality, but you're going to have a person that, in strengthening your spiritual vitality, helping you have a living faith, helping you learn to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, helping you obey the Word of God, then that person is going to be helping you fulfill God's purposes for your life. Today's battle drill comes from Proverbs 27, verse 17. And some months ago, on Mother's Day, Katie Kennard spoke from this same passage. Proverbs 27, verse 17. Iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This is the New American Standard 1995 update. In the 2020 update, it says, so one person sharpens another. In the New Living Translation, it says, so one friend sharpens another. The point I'm making here is that it's not just a male, machismo, military, athlete thing. This is an every single person in the body of Christ thing. We are supposed to have spiritual friends. As iron sharpens iron, so one spiritual friend, so one person sharpens another. That is the Word of God. Now let's learn how to train together. So that was action step one of a soldier's training regiment. A soldier must know the field manual. Now the second step is soldiers must learn to train together as one unit. Just like we partake of the Lord's Supper as a sign of our unity, that we are one in Christ, so we must train the battle drills as one. The kingdom of God is a relational kingdom. That is one of the most profound things I could ever say to you. And it will take your whole life to figure it out in terms of who God is, and who we are in God, and how then we relate to one another. The kingdom of God is a relational kingdom. I can now go into a one-hour discussion on the Trinity, but I'm not going to do that. God has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has demonstrated himself to be a perfect community in perfect relationship within the integrity of himself. And we are to demonstrate that same integrity of wholeness with him and one another. Genesis 1, verse 27. It's a beautiful verse. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, if we did catechism, this would be the basics of Bible-believing Christianity. That we are designed for intimacy with God and one another as men and women, both uniquely made in the image of God. And from there, we can talk about most of the major social issues of today and have a clear understanding of what the Bible teaches about it. Because God created man, humankind, in his own image. In the image he created him, male and female, he created them. And just as God exists in a triune relationship with himself, we are made to be better together. Male and female. We are made, we are designed to complement and be together for his glory. That is God's design. And this is one of the reasons we are enlisted by God for our salvation. This is why you were enlisted. If you read that passage from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, you see that your salvation was an enlistment. You were enlisted to be a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You weren't saved so that you can have fire insurance and do whatever you want to do with your life. You were saved to enter into eternal life and be submissive to the commander who has clear purposes for your life that begin at the moment of your salvation. You're saved on purpose, with a purpose. You're blessed to be a blessing. That's why this sermon series has been so important, because we get distracted by so many other things. We get distracted by the things that are not his purposes. So, how do we stay focused? Go to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25. This is how we train together. I've already told you that this is one of the big three disciplines of the Christian life. It takes discipline to show up for church. It takes discipline to be a part of some kind of small group or Bible study. It takes discipline to meet with other Christians in one-on-one meaningful relationships where your spiritual vitality is strengthened, whether you call those disciple relationships, mentor relationships, apprentice relationships, accountability relationships, if you just call it friendship. Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25 says this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And it's God we're talking about here. For God who promised is faithful. And let us, listen to this, this is why we do it. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love. Remember, the law of Christ is love. To law and good deeds. Don't forget that you are God's workmanship, creating Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance. That means God designed you on purpose, and upon salvation, he's called you to love and do good deeds. Not for your salvation, but because of your salvation, because you are saved, because you're enlisted, because you have a purpose. Why do we gather? For this reason, to remind each other. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together. That is not a beating stick. That is an invitation. If you want to thrive and you want to have your best life, then it has to happen in the context of relationships. Why? Because the kingdom of God is a relational kingdom. And God, and how he has revealed himself to us, thrives within relationships as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What? For you to forsake the design of God that he's put upon you is to reject you experiencing the fullness of joy and the fullness of purpose for your life. You can justify your sin all you want. It's nothing short of disobedience to God's design for your life, and you will be miserable. Let me finish. As is the habit of some, And then here it is. But encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. I can't even tell you how many people in the last couple years have told me the day of the Lord is drawing near. If you believe that, then there is absolutely no justification. If you believe that the return of the Lord is imminent and that all the evidence is pointing to the fact that God is going to return and be rapturing his church and he's going to be making all things right really soon, then that is the exact motive for why you're supposed to be gathering even more frequently. You don't increase your disobedience in preparation for the Lord. You increase it because that is the way that he designed you to thrive in the darkness and in the difficulties of the tribulations that will increase before he returns. You don't hunker down in isolation. That just leads to a bigger pity party and greater self-justification of your own sin. You come so you can be exposed and encouraged and exhorted to live a life that shines brilliantly in the darkness. Because you're supposed to be like stars that shine in the dark sky. And that's a 2023 ambition of mine for our church, is that we will shine. So let's now look at this Proverbs 27, verse 17. This is a famous scripture. I mean, there are accountability groups that call themselves 2717 groups. I mean, this is just one of those verses that people use and they know. And let me read to you an explanation about it. Okay, so this verse, Proverbs 27:17, let me open it up again. It means that close friends provide constructive criticism and accountability, just as sharpening an iron blade makes it more effective. Close friends sharpen one another's character so that they'll be more effective. Because both parties are made from iron. This is key. Because both parties are made from iron, their words are not intended to hurt one another. That's so important. The word of God is sharp enough, brothers and sisters. You don't need to be sharp too. You just need to apply the word of God in the right way. You don't need to be a stumbling block. The gospel already is. Let me read to you 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. Now a gentleman who could be very sharp in how he came across at times said this to his protege. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, the person of God, may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Spiritual friends use the word of God to sharpen one another. Yes, you're going to have your personality, and yes, you're going to have all that, but it's the word of God we use. This is what we exhort each other with. So, we need to be made of iron, because iron cuts through aluminum. Don't be made of anything less than that which can be sharpened. And I believe that that's part of becoming a new creation in Christ. As you're made a new creation in Christ and you're no longer what you once were, you become something that can be sharpened, calibrated for the purposes of why you're enlisted. God would not put you in a position where you can't be sharpened and calibrated and equipped for the good works which he preordained for you to do. God wouldn't do that to you. But I think there are places we allow ourselves to stay stunted. We allow ourselves to stay in the past. We have a codependent relationship with ourselves because of past issues. And then we don't get sharpened. We just get hurt. But God wants you to be sharp. He wants to use you as a sharpening agent of your spiritual friends. Now, let's go back to Galatians. Galatians 6:2 was the whole emphasis of why we have battle buddies, so we can carry one another's burdens. But you need to read verse 1. Okay, I've used Galatians 6:1 many times in our fellowship together. And I remind myself of Galatians 6:1 a lot. Because my unredeemed, unsanctified personality can do a whole lot of damage. And I've done that. And I've repented of that. And where necessary, I've sought forgiveness of that, where I knew I needed to. If I still need to do that with someone, please let me know. I don't always know when my personality is causing damage. Every day I try to bring that into a place of consecration and sanctification so that only the Word of God would be the sharp aspect of my life. So, Galatians chapter 6, check this out. Brethren, that's us, the church, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of, what's the word there? Gentleness. In a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And this is the hard work of our battle drill. This is the hard work of our battle drill. Proverbs 27, verses 5 to 6, the same chapter says this. Better, listen to this, Proverbs 27, verses 5 to 6. Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Do we believe that? Do we practice it? Do we remain in the friendships long after it's been tested? Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. In other words, your battle buddy, your spiritual friends will love you by telling you the truth. And even if they're gentle, we need to trust it's being done for the sake of love, for the sake of equipping us for the purposes of our salvation. We need to be made of iron. And one more verse there. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Ephesians 4, verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. In other words, when we speak the truth in love, we are to mature into Christ's likeness. We are to be sharpened into greater effectiveness as members of the body of Christ. That's the whole thing. That's why we gather. That's why I preach and why I lead prayer services and why I teach Bible studies and why I do counseling and discipleship and why I have one-on-one intentional relationships for the sake of being sharpened and matured in Christ. And that leads us to the third action step. Seek the commander's approval. As I defined from the introduction, a battle buddy is a person we have learned to depend upon to help us carry the burdens of God's purposes for our lives. None of us can do this alone. Every Moses needs an Aaron and Hur to hold up his arms. Every one of us needs people who are going to help us carry the burdens of our purposes. Okay, none of us can do it alone. There is a higher purpose for friendship than what the world teaches. Just like there is a higher purpose to marriage than what the world debates and the world teaches. There is always a higher purpose of all relationships. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is a relational kingdom. Your spiritual friendships, just like your marriage, are to reflect the glory of God and demonstrate your holiness greater than your happiness. But we prioritize happiness so much that we destroy our friendships when in fact we're trying to love each other well. The higher purpose of spiritual friendship. Let's talk about that. Okay, now, in my life, I have no greater desire than to hear these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's from the parable, Matthew 25, verse 21. It's also found in verse 23. That's it. You want to know, Jerry, what are you living for? I'm living for that. That really, at the end of the day, is what I'm living for. I'm living for the reward that one day I will hear Jesus face to face say to me, well done and good and faithful servant. I mean, at times I am so neurotic and dysfunctional about how faithful I want to be. because I don't want to do anything to jeopardize hearing those words. Well done, good and faithful servant. So I've got my own issues with this that I'm working through to learn how to do it in healthy ways as a husband, as a father, as a pastor. Okay, we all got our issues. But I want to hear Jesus say, well done, good and faithful servant. I do. And I know I can't do it alone. I can't get there alone. Can't be faithful alone. Can't. Sometimes it's hard enough just to make it to 10 o'clock at night. To make it to bedtime without blowing it again. Without saying something I shouldn't do. Without hurting somebody with my words. Because I can be pretty intolerant and insensitive at times. I know it's hard for you to believe, but it's true. So I know that this goal of mine, to hear those words, is only possible with Christ. I can't do anything apart from Him. So I need to have daily rhythms of abiding in Christ. My Bible time, my prayer time. They have to be protected. They have to be sacrosanct. They have to be the most important things I do all day that influence the rest of my day. And I also need to prioritize spiritual friendships, because I've learned the hard way that when I start isolating, it's not a good thing. When I start pulling back from wanting to be around you or people or my wife or my kids, it's not a good thing. Yes, we all need our space. I get that. But we need to make sure we're still prioritizing the importance of spiritual friendships. God did not design you to be Rambo. You are not a Lone Ranger. You can't do it alone. Moses had Aaron and Hur. Moses also had Joshua. Naomi had Ruth. David had Jonathan. Elijah had Elisha. Josiah had Jehoiada. Esther had Mordecai. Jesus had his inner circle. Paul had Barnabas. Timothy had Paul. We are refreshed by one another to carry. We are refreshed by one another to carry on to Charlie Mike, to finish the mission, to do what God's called us to do. A beautiful example of this is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. Paul was refreshed by his battle buddies in the mission of God. Let me quote this to you. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesimus, for he often, listen to this, he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. Paul said that having a battle buddy, having training partners, having spiritual friends, it refreshed him. Do you ever feel like you're in need of refreshment? Did you know that there are people in this church who are hungry for friendships and relationships just like you? And if you don't know who they are and you don't know where to start, then start by being a friend. You need refreshment. Everyone needs refreshment. Who in your life brings you refreshment? Another example from Paul's testimony is found in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 17 to 18. I rejoice over the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. That's a tough one. Because they have supplied what was lacking on your part, for they have refreshed my spirit in yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. Acknowledge such men. These people refreshed me. And he lists names. Paul, okay, let me be honest with you. I am scared to death to name names of friends who refreshed me because it's perceived as favoritism. Paul wasn't ashamed to name names. Who are the people? Whose names would you name of the people that refresh you, who come around you and bring joy to your life? We need that. We need that. So I believe that you, like Paul, I believe this about you. I believe you want to be faithful. I believe that you want to hear those words, well done and good and faithful servant. I don't think there's a person in this room that's here today saying, I don't care if Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant to me or not. I don't think there's a person in this room that's not motivated to be found faithful in the eyes of God. Therefore, I believe with every ounce of my being that you, like Paul, want to be faithful to God and please your commander. And your commander is Jesus Christ, not me. I know you want to run the race in such a way as not to be disqualified. I know that's true. You don't want to get to the end of this life and Jesus be like, psh, I never knew you. Apart from me. There's not a single person here that would be okay with that. But this is exactly why we need spiritual friends. This is why we need training partners. This is why we need battle buddies. Because we need these people in our lives to become that which God has ordained us to be and do that which he's called us to do so that we can be everything he asks us to be. That is God's plan. That is God's will for us to be sanctified, for us to be in the image of God. So Proverbs 13, verse 20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. So if you want to hear those words from Jesus and you want to finish the race and receive the imperishable crown, then are your friendships people who are going to be encouraging you and empowering you and speaking the truth in love to you in such a way that you're going to be built up to accomplish that which you desire your life to fulfill? Who are those people? Just like with my ranger buddy. Just like me coming to that point on that long patrol near the end of ranger school where I was losing consciousness and unable to keep my left foot before my right foot and my left foot before my right foot. I was unable to even do that simple thing anymore. I believe there's a time in each of our lives where we need someone to take our arm and keep us on the path, on the way, so that we put our next foot in front of the other. We make it to the next tree. We make it to that next point. Because you can't do it alone. So stop pushing the people away that you need to be close to. Because when you're hurting, that's when you need those people the most. To lock arms with them and say, I need you. I need you. I can't get there without you. And guess what? You're probably going to be hurt a little bit. Because people, when they're hurting, they hurt. But you don't need to wait to hit the wall of your exhaustion, of your own self-sufficiency, of your own pride and arrogance. You can start investing in those relationships now so that they're there and they love you and they're not going to leave you nor forsake you in the moment you need them the most. Because I'm telling you, trying to do an institutional approach or bureaucratic approach to making a phone call to a church office on some random day and saying, I need someone right now, I hate to tell you, we'll do our best to respond to that, but that ain't going to cut the cookie. That ain't going to cut the mustard. That's not going to get the job done for you. You need these people in your life. And yes, we're going to try to do everything we can as an organization and as a church that in that aspect, but truly, if you want this, it's about investing in relationships. It's about putting the time in. It's about trusting one another. It's about being willing to get hurt and then working through the hurt so that they're there for you. And that takes us to the last step, live on mission. The army I volunteered to serve in, I went in the army in 1992. The army I volunteered to serve in had a popular slogan. Does anybody remember what the slogan was in the 80s and 90s? It's like 20-something years of this slogan. Be all that you can be in the army. So be all you can be. That was their marketing strategy. The message was clear that if you joined the U.S. Army, they would shape you into the best person you could possibly be. Why was this important to the military? Why did they give a hoot about you being the best you could be? Why do they even care? It's because the successful accomplishment of the mission depended on each soldier doing their very best. That's why they cared. Because they wanted the mission to be accomplished, and they knew that every soldier needed to be all they could be and do it together. The commander I serve now, and his name is Jesus, has a higher purpose for his in his mind for my life and yours. It's an eternal purpose. It's Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son. In other words, God enlisted you to be all you can be as an image bearer of God, the reflection of his son, Jesus Christ, who makes visible the invisible attributes of God. And God's purpose for your life is that you would look like Jesus because Jesus looks like the Father. And why does that matter? Because that's the mission. The mission is for the world to see and hear about Jesus. Because there is no other name by which a person can be saved. And if we're going to be a part of the greatest rescue mission ever done, then we need to look like the one who's doing the rescuing. Because you're not rescuing anyone. You're pointing them to Jesus who's rescuing. You can't save a soul, but you have Jesus. And when you look like Jesus, then people can be saved. Be all you can be. Be the truest form of who you are designed to be. Be the best version of you to the glory of God. That's your mission. And then take that everywhere you go, even to the ends of this earth. Get a passport. Go. Why don't you practice by talking to the person across the kitchen table from you? Living across the street, working with you. God is glorified when you bear his image through your faithful fulfillment of all that God intends you to be. And what does he intend for you to be? His image bearer. Genesis 1. Why? Ephesians 2:10. Because if you're in Christ Jesus, you are God's workmanship. You are Christ's workmanship, creating Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. That goes back to Hebrews 10. Why do we gather? To be reminded, to be encouraged, to be exhorted, to be who we're meant to be and to do the good works he designed us to do. We need spiritual friends. And so just as I've been teaching you every step of the way in this sermon series, your salvation was an enlistment into the mission of God. You can fulfill the commander's intent for your life as a member of the body of Christ. You can. You are the church. You are the hope of the nations. There is no other hope. There is no other plan. You are the only hope for this community. You're the only hope for this nation. You're the only hope for the world. It's the church. Why? Because the church is the image bearers of the God who sent his one and only Son, so that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have eternal or everlasting life. And this is why we must have these Proverbs 27:17 relationships. Your job, your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to submit yourself to God's rule over your life, so that you can become what he always intended you to be. And today's battle drill teaches you that you can't become that alone. You need to train with a battle buddy. So I'm going to conclude with a quote. I want you to listen to this quote. This is a beautiful teaching about Proverbs 27:17. A blade is fashioned, honed to an edge and polished to a fine finish by the use of other metal, the one working over against the other. The process, though for a different purpose, is described in Isaiah 44, verse 12. The man shapes iron into a cutting tool and does his work over the coals, fashioning it with hammers and working it with his strong arm. In a similar fashion, one man sharpens another. The verb translated sharpens in both lines describes making something sharp or keen. We are better for our social interactions, even the ones we least appreciate. We are a debtor to every man whose path we have crossed, for no social contact needs to be a waste if we will but learn from it. How much more valuable than those friendships in which our companion has our highest good in mind. Two are better than one. He who walks with wise men will be wise. Indeed, as we have just discovered, a man's counsel is sweet to his friend. Think of Jonathan's benefit to David, for he arose and went to David at Horash and encouraged him in God. Little wonder we are exhorted. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25. And then I put this part of the quote up here. So let's put this part of the quote up. No man can be his best or reach the heights God intends for him without those blessed friends who comfort, provoke, challenge, rebuke, chide, affirm, stimulate, and encourage until his thinking is clear, his wisdom mature, his purpose refined, and his faculties sharp. That's good stuff. That's the intent of Proverbs 27, 17, brought into our understanding of new covenant, Bible-believing, church living. Athletic coaches and championship athletes know that every athlete needs a training partner to bring out their best and to win the championship as a team. Military officers and veteran soldiers know that every soldier needs a battle buddy to be all they can be and ensure mission success. God knows you need a spiritual friend to be the best version of you to the glory of God, transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, to the accomplishment of his purposes through your life. The question is, and here's the question I'm leaving with. Do you know your own need for a spiritual friend? Don't know where to start? Don't know what your next step is? Start by being a friend. Make training with a battle buddy one of your top priorities of your life this year. We all need to be in the easy yoke of Jesus to find rest for our souls from the heavy burdens of living in this fallen world. Then we each must learn to bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Let us pray. Father, I pray that you would make this battle drill a reflexive, instinctive, and habitual part of each of our Christian lives so that we can Charlie Mike, so that we may continue the great rescue mission of God upon this earth. Lord, I pray that as we go from this place today into a new year, that we would resolve to be obedient to the scriptures, that we would hear the words of Jesus himself who says, "Come to me, all you are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I will give you rest for your soul." Oh, Father, we heed your invitation to come to you, to get into your yoke so you can take our burdens. And now, in the same way that we have prioritized being in your yoke, we now choose. We make the decision, Lord, to find brothers and sisters in Christ who will help us carry the burdens of this life. Thank you for your church. Bless this congregation and every congregation that lifts up Jesus and teaches the Bible. I pray, Father, that you would help us to live on mission today for your glory. Oh, Father, have mercy upon us. Keep us in the way, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.